Is the Holy Spirit, Church in Alva, working today at the heart of you? Each of you sitting in each chair. Is the Holy Spirit working at the heart of you, convicting you of that which would make you unworthy in the good company you enjoy today? Is there something where you feel like, I'm not as good as, I'm different from, I don't have much to say, I don't know much, I'm not an expert at Bible reader, I don't know where the stuff is in the kitchen, I'm not sure what happens through that room in the other room, I'm not sure I can meet that challenge, John, writing to people in Ephesus, says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right? Simon the Pharisee, forgiven little, loves little. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God has laid out the total standard that we fall short of. This woman who was washing Jesus' feet had in her life sort of, I think, unbridled opportunity to express what was in her heart, in her actions, and so was well acquainted with her sin in evidence, and everybody else knew it, and so there she was weeping at his feet. And Simon the Pharisee, he pretty much obeyed a whole bunch of rules and did all the religious stuff. He hadn't been nearly as naughty as the woman who was of ill repute, known as an identity, a sinner. And that's not some word that means something else. It actually is the word sin with er put on it in Greek. And so she literally, they said she's a sinner. She acts and what she does is sin. Right? We're all the same way though. See, every heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some people live it out. Other people just think it out and stew in it. And Jesus comes to the guy who's stewing in it. And he says, you know what? You think you don't have a problem. And you think this girl has a problem. You think I got a problem because I'm hanging with the girl who's got a problem. But let me tell you, I'm hanging with you. And you're as nasty as the others. And the one who's forgiven much loves much. You should come. You should acknowledge how deeply you need it. You might find yourself on my other foot. I think it's in there in the story. But he's a good boy. And aren't we all just trying to be good boys and girls in this room? Right? Nobody here stole the 4 pounds that was sitting in the collection plate that was at the back of the church for about 3-4 weeks. I know, you didn't know it was there. But you wouldn't have taken it. 4 pounds in the back, no one ever stole it. None of you here are thieves. Good news. Great. But you know, Jesus said if you look at someone and you dislike them in your heart, it's like murder. If you think, ugh. So we're all busted and can't be trusted with the stuff that's up in here that I didn't let out. I don't think that Jesus set a standard to judge us in our thoughts. I think that God came to Adam and Eve, and he came to Cain, and he came to Abel, and he said to Cain, you watch out. Sin is lurking at your door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it. So I think it is our actions that are being watched. And God says, the stuff in your heart, it leads to your actions. You don't know what the circumstances was of the woman who ended up a prostitute. You don't know what the circumstances are of the man who ended up a Pharisee. And if their circumstances had been different, the evil sinfulness of the heart might have been expressed in the other one more clearly, and this one less so. But we're each responsible for our actions. But Jesus is talking to the person whose actions were outside the lines and said, you know, and your sins are forgiven. And that person who came to Jesus, they worshiped lavishly. Would that be allowed in this place, to worship lavishly? Or must we all be careful about how? How many claps? Or if you put your hands up? Or if you said, "I'll preach it." Never heard that yet, because I don't know if I, yeah. I'm not asking for it. I know if the God doesn't inspire it, you don't got to do it, you know. Yeah. "Your faith has saved you," Jesus said. "Go in peace." Do you want to walk away justified before God today? Do you want to just stop and be, "I know I've met with the Lord. I know that He knows. And I'm that grateful"? I do. From the words of Jesus that are recorded in Scripture, we know why the woman washed Jesus' feet. And we know why she wept, right? Because she knew how great of a mercy she had received. And we know that God sees and He cares. And we see the total gift of forgiveness. It's just a gift. He didn't say to her, "Now that you've washed my feet, go and make it right with your mom who's been weeping because of the job that you've been doing all these years. You know, go and make it right with the person that you have." He didn't. "You sinner, I look at you, I forgive your sin." He didn't say, "Go and fix it." But AA says, "Go and fix it." Do you know Alcoholics Anonymous? They say, "Go and fix it." That's step four. You got to do a fearless moral inventory, and insofar as is possible with you, go and reconcile with everyone whose life you wrecked, you drunk. Right? But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus has a one-step process. "Your faith has saved you. Go." One-step program. I'm not saying Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't work and people who need to develop the discipline, I wasn't railing against that. I was saying that salvation and what God does and the ministry of this place is more simply, "Your faith saves you. Get up and walk." And then the walk, you can have 12 steps if you want, you could have 7. You could have every next step you'll ever take, and that counts. We are called to assess ourselves honestly, as Simon the Pharisee would have been, as well as the woman would have been required to. And we're encouraged about the lavishness of our worship in this story. The way that she worshiped is appropriate, is acceptable. It's unusual given the circumstances, and Jesus is still cool with it. What kind of rules are we going to make? Let's say you have to do this, you have to do that. We never do this. We don't do that. You can't stand. How are we going to do that? And in the reflection on the immensity of our debt, you know, David said, "I will become even more undignified than this." Do you remember the story? He was dancing before the Lord and before the Ark of the Covenant. And I think the guy was probably in his underwear, you know. I think there was like, he like had the robe off and had the sort of the other thing. And so it wouldn't have been like, you know, Marky Mark in a Hanes briefs commercial that we see on television now, you know. But it would have been like the king, not in the robes. And his wife is like, "I am so embarrassed of you. I mean, you've got the girls singing songs about you, my husband. My father would have never acted like that." And David's response was, "You know what? I will be even more undignified than this. I was worshiping the Lord. That wasn't the point. The point wasn't that I wanted people to check me out. The point wasn't that I just thought, oh, everyone, look at me, look at me. I was worshiping the Lord, and it was hot, and that was too much. And I'll do it this way, back off." You know, this woman, she was not corrected by Jesus Christ. She was not rebuked in the presence of others because of the way she worshiped. She fulfilled a need in recognizing what God was doing and administering to the Lord in a way that was with the resources she had and used. And the religious person in the room didn't approve of it. And Jesus said, "You should be more thankful and you should let more of it out." I think that's what this story is about. Lord, please help us to understand and help us to discuss if we don't see it so clearly as what the minister is putting forward, and help us to consider as we gather to be the church how we will express it. What is the healthy what is the honorable way. You're a God of order, and things need to be done in order. There are things that people would do that we would all of us say, no, that's definitely, I don't think you're supposed to smoke crack in the name of the Lord. It's just a thing. We understand that, Lord. We can't go so out on a limb that we would just invent things. But help us to make space in our gathering and in our worship for genuine and honest expressions. And will you bless us, please, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.